I'm Ryan Green. I'm from Baltimore. I'm not from any like cool place like Finland or Brazil. Just Baltimore. Yeah, so I've been in Bible college for 3.5 years. It's been a wild ride. I don't know. What else do I want to say about that? Just a plug for Bible college. It's like the best way to like get to know God in an accelerated way. Cause you're like in things every day and like you're like learning discipline. You're learning about God. You're learning about practical things. You're learning about how to have a like personal life. And it's like an everyday, it's like a shot in the arm. It's like every day you're getting encouraged and it's been like the best decision of my life. And I would encourage anybody to think about it, no matter how old you are. We made a video a few years ago. And one guy said something that stuck with me. He said, retiring from your job at 55, 5 years early to go to Bible college full time isn't for everybody, but Bible college is for everybody. So you take one class for 30 years, one class every semester, like that's the way it works for you, but Bible college is, it's for everybody. So that's a plug for his class. Sign up for a Hebrews class starting on January 19th. okay, so let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing us up here. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Just bless these words. Pray that they would speak to one person. That's all that matters. They would be from you. They would be of you, not of me. Thank you for this church, this town, this state. Bless them, encourage them, this body. And wow. Thank you for your cross and the blood that you spilled, God. Amen. Okay, so let's see how this goes. So let's turn to Exodus 34:6. So I found this verse a few months ago and it just kind of struck me because it talks about the character of God and just how like it's like I think it's one of the first times that God talks about himself and he's talking to Moses and he says, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord the God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. My translation's a little different, but I think it's steadfast love in the other translations. But it's just talking about, God is talking about himself. And I'm going to read it one more time because it's so good. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, steadfast love, and truth. That's just so cool. Like, let's just take a second to think about, that's our God. Our God is those things. And I really want to hone in on the loving kindness and relate it to the cross. So let's turn to Romans 6, verse 5. We're going to be all over the place. So yeah, the cross is like the biggest expression of love that we could ever imagine. Like God came down from heaven to live humbly as a man, to die the most terrible death. And he did that just for us. It was so motivated by love, so motivated by his loving kindness and grace towards us. And, so in verse six, let's see. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So the cross happened so that we could be crucified with him so that our sin could be done away with. Isn't that amazing? So that we could have freedom in our sin. We're not slaves to sin anymore. We have freedom, and that's done because of the cross, because God came down to earth to die on the cross so that we may have freedom with him. Isn't that crazy? Like, that's an expression of love, isn't it? If I know anything about love, that's an expression of love. Yeah, so let's talk about another part of the cross, an aspect of the cross. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, this is Paul talking about, he said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. So this is talking about that we're called to preach the cross. We're called to preach the cross. We're called to preach the gospel, the simple gospel. And it's not, we don't add speech to it. We don't make it look flowery. We don't make it look good. Because the gospel, it's not a pretty bouquet. It's like the rough and tumble. It's not good looking. But it means so much. It's an expression of love. And so that, like, if you add something to it, the cross of Christ is made void. Like, isn't that crazy? Like, we just need to bring the simple gospel, the cross. That's all that we need. We don't have to add anything to it, because when we add something to it from our own heart, our natural sinful heart, it pollutes it. And it's not perfect. It doesn't have the power. But when it's perfect from God, it has the power. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Yeah, so Matthew 10:38. This is Jesus talking. And he says, he who does not take his cross and follow me after me is not worthy of me. And this is, I think previously, he had asked some guys to follow him. And this is talking about discipleship. And that one, I believe one guy said that he had to go bury his parents. And another guy said, it was a rich young ruler. I forget if it was in Matthew or in another book, but same idea. He said that he just couldn't give up his stuff. And God is calling us through his cross to pick up our cross and to follow him. So we see, like in the other verse, we saw that God came down for us and died on the cross that we would die with him. So now we have the opportunity to pick up our cross and follow him. So we take what he has done for us, apply it to our lives, and then we follow him. And then in Romans, when like we have that sin in us, that we've been freed from that sin, now we don't have to worry about it because we have freedom to pick up and walk with the cross that we have. We have the freedom to walk and pick up the cross. And like, wow, the cross gives us freedom. And when we pick up our cross, we're able to follow Jesus and serve him as blameless sacrifices for him. And let's go to Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's just read that. He endured the cross. So just another picture of love, another picture of God's love. Jesus endured the cross for us. He endured the cross so that we would have freedom. He endured the cross so that we would just have, like, we'd be able to pick up our cross. We'd be able to, like, serve him, to follow him in freedom. Wow. Maybe just one more, just to tie it all together, this idea of love, the cross being provoked by love. In closing, 4:9, by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his holy, the only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So just tying that together, God came down and he was motivated by love. He died on the cross and all these other things. He died on the cross and we're able to walk in the newness of life with freedom. We're able to walk, pick up our cross and follow him. We're able to serve him. We can see that he endured the cross for us. And it's all motivated by love. It's motivated by the love of God. And that's, I think that's it. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Isn't that the message? That's the message right there, the cross. You notice how when Avery spoke this morning and then Ryan spoke right now, that there is a method, isn't there? It's a method to the madness. No, there is a method, like methodically going through and finding one thing in the Bible and relating to it. So that was a great, great message. Thank you, Ryan. And now we have our next speaker, Jesse Fires. I don't know his middle name, otherwise I'd say it. But Jesse Fires, come on up.
Yeah, great to be here. My name is Jesse Fires from Florida. My dad's Pastor Ken. Those of you know the man that get bit by the snake. Yeah, that's probably how you know him. Yes. It took him a year to get off of that and finally get pulled. Baltimore, Maryland. It has been such a blessing in my life. And today I just want to talk about the importance of the Word. So we'll go to two passages real quick. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. We'll hit two passages, then we'll pray. The importance of the Word in our lives as believers to get us through, to teach us, to guide us. And we have a amazing church, an amazing pastor, Pastor Bailey. What amazing message he did this morning, refining us, getting refined by the Word. We all need that daily. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now you could flip over 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for those words that were spoken by Ryan. These words this morning, let us meditate on it. What these words truly mean in our lives and how we could utilize them. It's like an armor, a suit of armor that we could put on ourselves. And we could go out into the world preaching your word, preaching your truth, preaching hope and life, God. Lord, quiet our hearts, our ears, God. Tear down any walls, any thoughts that we're thinking about maybe what we have to do later. Or maybe we're hungry that we have to eat. What do we have to eat? Or tomorrow or this weekend, let us put that aside right now and come to the Word humbly and learn and eat from your everlasting food. Lord, bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go to John 13, and we're going to stick there. Matthew 13. We're in John this morning. Matthew 13. For me, growing up in the church, I was a believer at a young age, but there was no roots that really took place in my life. Just kind of going with the flow, you know. Parents made me go to church, and was born into that. Then my dad became a pastor when I went to college. And not Bible college, regular college. And then that's when I stopped going to church myself. And so for about 8 years, had no like deep roots in the Word. I knew God loved me, and I knew He sent His Son for me to die on the cross. And that was it. And that's pretty much all I really needed, though, to get me through, which is amazing. Just that one Word got me through. But the importance of the Word, and that's why I decided to go to the Bible college, because I was like, what is this Word? What is this Bible? What does it mean to me in my life? What does it mean to my parents' life and all these other pastors that I see? And all these great men of faith like Billy Graham and Pastor Schaller and all these other great men of faith and women of faith that love this Word. And they dig into it and they sob for it. And I just wanted to feel that. I didn't feel that personally in my life. And so I was like, Lord, a lot of things happen in life. Maybe we'll say during the wrap. But I committed to go to Bible college to get roots, because I never took root, and to understand what this Word really means and how beautiful it really is that God gave us this Word. And so we're going to go from Matthew 13, verse 18, the parable of the sower. And so in verse 18 it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." So I get the word, I hear the word, and I don't apply it. I don't understand it. I don't understand. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm loved? What do you mean I'm forgiven? What do you mean there's a God up there who, are you kidding? There's a God during all of this chaos? No, I don't believe, I don't understand that. I don't believe that. And the word was sown, and they didn't discern it. They didn't understand it, and it just, boom, the wicked one says it stole it away. These words that have power, that have root in people's lives, were sown into this heart, and the wicked one quickly turned it away. You know, it's like it's like many things in life that we won't understand, like the coronavirus or different things. Why did this happen? Why is this person treated this way? Or why are they given this? And sometimes we just don't understand it. But, you know, God, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so sometimes we won't understand. We won't comprehend it overall. In Proverbs 20:24, it says, man's goings are of the Lord's. How then can man understand his own way? And so I see, like, the world, they try to figure out ourselves, right? We try to figure out our path ourselves. You know, I got to do this. You know, I have this goal. I have this plan for myself. But there in that proverb, it says, man's goings are of the Lord's. And so we have to look to God for us to find our own way. We have to get out of our own way, like Ryan was saying, to find our true meaning in God. So the first one, the first seed, they don't understand it. Verse 20, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy received it. Immediately with joy received it. Wow, it's like that instant gratification. I heard a word, and wow, I love that. I love what you're saying. I get joy from that. Like what you're preaching, what you're telling me, there's something about it that's speaking to me. I can't fully comprehend it, but it's speaking to me in a way that I'm getting joy from it. What is that? Wow. Immediately, this world is all about immediate instant gratification. I'm putting my food in the microwave. It's not done in 2 minutes, I'm upset. You know, it's like we want things so quickly in our life. And so I see this, you know, we could be coming, or you could apply this if you come to church Sunday. You know, you get built up on Sunday. And then what happens? We go through the week without the word coming in, without root taking place. What happens to that joy? It's gone. Because we don't apply it. We don't often receive His word daily. And so it's like gone overall. And said in verse 21, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. By and by isn't just another word for immediately he was offended. So the same person who would immediately receive joy from it gets immediately offended too by the word. Because of the word, I was offended. Because of the word that I was, it was only like 5 minutes ago. Remember about the word where I was saying how important it was in the beginning, how we need to study the word to show ourselves approved. We get offended by the same word overall because of tribulation and persecution that come up from it. And I'm going to hit back on that point. Let's just read the final two verses of the sower. He also, verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Wow. So we receive the word, maybe we understand it, but we don't apply it, we don't let it sink in. The world, right? The devil, right? The enemy, he doesn't want us, he wants us to get preoccupied with different things in this life, you know, material things, even relationships he could use, maybe certain people that are not good for me. The deceitfulness, the riches of the world, all this flash, and it chokes the very thing that gives us life. It chokes the word. And when I was reading that, I was just picturing like the word, like choking overall. You're suffocating it. You're not letting the life, you're not letting life flow through it. You're suffocating what is going to give you life. In verse 23, but there is those seeds that we sow that find good soil. Verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I hear the word. I come to church often. I read my Bible often. I pray. I meditate on it often. And I understand it. Maybe not right away. It's not never right away. Maybe it is sometimes. It wasn't for me, but you know, sometimes you just got to keep applying. Maybe we don't understand it. Ask questions. You have an awesome pastor. We have different. All you guys are have a sermon, have a portion. You know, every part of the body is fitly framed and has a portion in this ministry. This is why I love this ministry overall. Each and every one of us can be used. And so I want to talk about that verse, and back in that verse 21, about being offended overall. In this world, I feel like there's someone, it's so easy to be offended nowadays. You know? If I don't have my mask on, you know, just below my eyelids, there people are offended or something. Or if I say one word, we get easily offended. In the Greek word for that offense means a snare or a trap. You know, have you ever, maybe this was just a Florida thing, the catching birds, you put like, you get the box and then you get the stick and you put it, no? Anyone? No one tried to catch birds before? Alright, so you get a box, right? Simple overall, and then you put a stick above it so it has it tilted up with a string tied around the stick, and you throw a nice little bread or bird seed, and then you go away and you have the string. Birds come in and then you pull the string and it's the trap. No? No one has ever done that? You get the picture overall. How simple we are trapped, though. Oh, boy. I'm sorry for offending you. Wow. But, yes, so this word, the same word that gives us life, can offend us. And so I want to go apply it in two ways. One way that we let the offense take us, we let that trap capture us, and it's in Matthew 13, we're going to start in verse 53. It says, and it came to pass that Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, and in so much that they were astonished, and said, whence had this man this wisdom, and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother, called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joses, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then have this man all these things? In verse 57, and they were offended at him. So they grew up with him. This is this Nazareth, where Jesus grew up and he was humbly doing his work as a carpenter's son. And so they're saying, like, I know, I've seen you, I've grown up with you, I'm familiar with you, I've seen what you do. Where did this come from? Where did this knowledge and understanding come from? And they had pride in their hearts because they didn't want to receive his word. They didn't want to receive his wisdom overall because they said they knew him. They had a familiarity. And so pride came, and it choked the word, just like that seed did. And they were offended in the word. Because of what he spoke, they were offended. So they were offended because of the word. And then he says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Anyone ever get offended by their family or people close to them? Where they're from? Yeah? Yeah, that's what he's saying here. Wow. The people closest to us, we don't even give honor to it. So maybe you're here tonight, maybe it's like your family is not supporting you in this, or maybe they're against, you know, what you believe, and they don't hear it, they don't receive the seed that you sow. But God is going to reward you for those seeds sown. Just keep sowing, you know, in your family. You know, it is hard. Persecution and tribulation come, maybe, because there's something about the family being so close. But he will bring you fruits. In verse 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And I kept reading that over and over again. Because of their offense in the word, because of their unbelief, he didn't do many mighty works there. So I applied, I'm like, okay, if I, like in that verse 21, if I'm afraid of being offended because of what I believe, if I go out and I'm afraid of tribulation or persecution coming against me because I'm not rooted in my word, if I let that bother me, then it's going to keep us from going out to spreading the seed and then possibly Jesus being able to heal other people. He did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. And so what is our job? We have to go with this word, with this seed that is the grain of a mustard seed, right? Faith as a mustard seed, the kingdom as a mustard seed, and we have to sow this seed. And we can't be afraid of the persecution and the tribulation because there's so many mighty works that God can do other than our own feelings. We have to go and sow this seed because maybe they'll believe. Maybe there'll be one seed that gets sown and that seed grows and develops. And then God does a mighty work in that one seed. And he's able to heal him. He's able to do the mighty works. And in closing, in Matthew 11, verse 5 through 6, Jesus is, John the Baptist sends his disciples to Christ. And Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. You know, I feel like we were all spiritually blind at once before someone maybe sowed the seed in our life and shared our word. We couldn't see. We had a limit. We couldn't see the good works of God because we're so focused on the negative and what's going wrong in my life instead of seeing the good that God has. We were all blind, but now they receive sight. Then he says, go tell them that the lame walk. You know, maybe back in the day we were just walking just with depression, with anxiety, with the weight on our shoulders that so easily besets us. Cast it away. Walk. Because what do we have? We have the best gift in life of salvation, of eternal life. Walk. You're like the lame. Walk. You have 2 feet. Walk. Go. The leopards are cleansed. Maybe we have a personal testimony. Maybe there is something in our family or our friends that were healed miraculously by a disease or something. And the leopards are cleansed. And the deaf hear. We couldn't hear. We couldn't hear God's love. We couldn't hear God's word. That he loves you so much that he died on the cross. We didn't understand it. And now we understand it. We're able to hear now. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to him. We were once lost, now we're found. We were once dead in our sins, and now we live. And in verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. There it is again, the offend. Sometimes we will get offended. God will offend you. Christ will offend you. Tribulation and persecution will come. But don't let that get in the way, because you all, each and every one of us, has a gift. We have a testimony. that we could go out and we could sow the seed to some individual that is lost out there who can't hear, who can't walk, who can't see, who's dead out there. And God gives us the power from the Holy Spirit that we are able to give life and sow that seed, and maybe it grows. But we just got to keep sowing. And that's why we study the Bible. And that's why we want to understand this love. We fully don't understand it sometimes, but by faith. By faith. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given us. We receive, Lord. We receive your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the word that you've given us that guides us daily. We thank you for the body, the people who are around us, who build us up and encourage us, Lord. We need them. Thank you for that word in due season, when we're down and when we're lonely, that you sow that seed and it grows and we're able to just live on life on that one word. We thank you, Lord, for the seed sown. We pray for this ministry, God. We pray for Marlboro, God, that you would just build up mighty warriors, that they would have a ministry at their job, a ministry in the youth center, whatever it may be, a ministry at the gas station, whatever it may be, God, that we all have ministry, that we all have seeds to sow, that they are endless. We thank you for your finished work. We thank you for the cross, God, for your blood. And bless the rest of this night, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.